Hello, my name is Terry Cheek. You are listening to Crisis and Concern for November 1st, 2014. As we look ahead to Tuesday, November 4th, and the midterm elections, I am hearing many local folks ask, who do I vote for? Well, the overwhelming and aggressive ads may contain many facts. However, many times, they are not truthful. And this accomplishes nothing more than confusion for many people. As a pastor, I am often asked, how should I choose a candidate? My answer is, learn as much as you can about every candidate. Look for their voting record if they are running for re-election. Look at their character. What are their convictions? If voting isn't important enough for you to invest some of your time, effort, and attention, along with sincerity, then I'm afraid you have a deeper problem than who to vote for. I encourage people to pray, and pray sincerely and often, and then use your Bible as a guideline for right and wrong. Do not look for a perfect candidate. He or she does not exist. No candidate has all the answers to the massive task of helping run our government. They choose specialists who advise them in areas such as finance, foreign policy, domestic affairs, and economics, just to name a few. Now ask yourself, what convictions will they use to make these choices? If their personal convictions are not moral, why would you think their choices for advisors would be moral? As a Christian, you are set apart to live a holy life that bears witness to Jesus Christ. Your vote should reflect as much as possible candidates with the moral conviction of the doctrine of God's Word. Does this guarantee sincere, truthful candidates? No, it doesn't. But it does give you assurance that you used sound discernment in making your choice. If a lie was told, it wasn't yours. One last thought on voting. The Christian vote has been too silent for too long in America. Christian, get out and cast your vote with the discernment of a child of God. Shrug off the campaign ads, the attacks, and the marketing. Open your Bible. Read it. Pray over the candidates. And understand, to the best of your knowledge, their convictions. Vote your values, your virtues, and your Bible. Well, my thoughts on candidates and voting are on the table, and it is time to address an issue that is in the face of every human being, and that is sexuality. Currently, there is a lot of chatter going on inside the church regarding same-sex marriage, and I believe there should be. Same-sex marriage is another symptom of a much greater problem. The decline of human sexuality has been very obvious for decades. It is nothing new. For a moment, allow me to use the illustration of disease to discuss human sexuality. One definition of disease is this: a particular quality, habit, or disposition regarded as adversely affecting a person or group of people. Now, I am not saying sex is a disease. I am saying mankind is practicing sex in a manner that God never established it for. We have taken something that God intended as good, holy, sanctified, and mankind has corrupted it through sin. That disease is an immoral practice of human sexuality, and it's taking place in our culture, even within the church. Listen to this list. Adultery, pornography, prostitution, abortion, pedophilia, divorce, cohabitation, same-sex relationships, and the list can go on and on. The point is that our culture has become so comfortable with casual sex, and even the church has become so comfortable with casual sex, it doesn't even alarm us any longer. Now, I am thankful to see so many addressing symptoms of this dreaded disease. However, I am afraid we will never see a major impact in any one area until our comfort with casual sex is corrected and godly morals are once again given a top priority in our personal lives. To the church, I want to specifically say something to you. Our approach to these symptoms has often done more harm than good. Let me give an example. For decades, the church has expelled, by some manner, form, or fashion, every divorced person. Divorce has been something that has been pushed aside in the church, and the way we deal with it is to not deal with it. Well, that is a very ungodly and inappropriate attitude. And I realize there are exceptions, but I'm discussing a general trend here. Unfortunately, this was an easy way to avoid addressing a very personal but very biblical issue. Yet it is one every pastor, especially pastors, are called to deal with in a loving and godly manner, trying to get to the root of the problem and to determine in a godly way a correct response and approach for a correct and right resolution. There is the ongoing problem, and this is something that really addresses pastors, of marriage ceremonies. Couples who are unequally yoked. One Christian and one non-Christian is what I am referring to. You see, when we understand sexuality and marriage and are willing to apply it regardless of its unpopularity among people, then we will start seeing people take it more seriously. When the church takes human sexuality seriously, then the world around us will begin to take it more seriously as well. We were speaking of divorce. To understand divorce, one must first understand biblical marriage. And if we understand biblical marriage, we have to apply it correctly. Now, if our understanding of sexuality is skewed, then everything that follows after it will be skewed as well. It is time for the church to embrace the whole doctrine of God's Word concerning human sexuality and marriage. And that is true, the whole doctrine, not selectively pull out a piece of scripture, a verse here or a phrase there. Until we're willing to go back and look at the whole doctrine of God, we will not be able to successfully make gains in correcting moral decay in America. Again, let me review the list I gave you earlier. Adultery, pornography, prostitution, abortion, pedophilia, divorce, cohabitation, and same-sex relationships. Now, what does God's Word say about all of these? Well, they are either sin or a situation caused by sin. Now, will the Lord Jesus Christ forgive it? Absolutely. Will the Lord use these people once forgiven in His work to reach others? Absolutely. Should the church be reaching out to them to see them redeemed or restored? Absolutely. So why isn't the church transforming the world? This is Terry Cheek. You have been listening to Crisis and Concern for November 1st, 2014.